Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Welcome to Good Morning Football, everybody. Happy Friday! It's our show presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We are in New York. It is Friday, November 19th. My name is Kay, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, and former Seattle Seahawks, Texas Longhorn, Green Beret in the U.S. Army, Nate Boyer.
Nate Boyer.
Hey, Nate. What's up, Nate?
Hey.
Timely for the lead block. There Patriots, Falcons, have they ever played before?
Two goats.
Can you remember one? In fact, Matt Ryan is 0-4 against Belichick, one of them very memorable. Mac Jones leads rookie quarterbacks in all passing categories. But surely this Patriots thing would derail. It's a weird Thursday night, tough to play in a short week. But wait a second. Nelson Aguilar in for the touchdown, untouched, 10-0. Matt, feeling it, loving it. How about this defense? Matt Ryan, can you get it together? Venerable veteran, no, intercepted. I'll tell you right now, spoiler alert, Devin McCourty with a pick. That would not be the only one that Matt Ryan would throw. That was the look of the game. Celebrations in the end zone, Patriots rolling. The Falcons had nothing to say. Here's the good news. 28-3, we don't need to talk about it anymore. The bad news is the last two games, the Falcons have lost 68-3. Atlanta, we love you. Patriots, 25 squat.
Wow.
25 nothing. We got a sensation here. Let's hear from the head coach. And I got to tell you guys, Bill Belichick wearing a pretty snazzy jacket. Take it away.
Good to come away with a win. You know, we got some big plays defensively. And, you know, Nick made some kicks and, you know, did enough offensively to score enough points there to, you know, to get ahead and win. Hopefully we can just play a little bit more consistency. You know, we had obviously way too many penalties. Killed us in the return game, killed us offensively. I know we got to do a better job there, but it's good to come down here and get a win.
Yeah, I'm so used to these games being, especially primetime games, like heart attack, roller coaster, oh my gosh, woe is me, shock, horror. And this was kind of easy breezy watching. Patriots took care of business, shutting out the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. What'd you make of it, Peter?
I thought the defense was so fantastic that the rest of the league has to take notice. Okay, I'm watching this last night early on, and Matthew Judon has a swing move and a sack, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they might have the best pass rusher in football, too. We know about the interceptions. The fun they're having. Judon, Van Noy, they're coming from all angles. It's not just the defensive backfield, which we're so used to seeing. And it's been not just this week. Since this win streak, these defensive players have been unbelievably sound. They've been unified since week 7 to be giving up 10 points per game. And here's the other part about it. They're having fun. They're having fun. Mike Reese from ESPN is a great Patriots reporter, and he did this great tweet yesterday from a different angle of the post game when they were interviewing Kyle Van Noy. Judon applauding Van Noy, dancing, having fun.
All right.
Is this the Patriots of old? Is this the, oh, it's so miserable to play there? These guys are leaning into it. It's everyone. It's young with Barmore and of course, Uche and all these young guys. And then it's old with Van Noy and Judon and then McCourty on the back end. They haven't given up a point in 7 quarters. They are rolling. And I don't care if you're the Bills. I don't care if you're the Chiefs. I don't care if you're the Titans. You're not scoring 40 points on that team. You're going to have to bring your best. The Patriots defense is back, and it's good for football.
It is exciting. And you know what? I'll be the first to admit that I was so on this on the Brady train. It's all Tom Brady. It's not the Belichick.
Sure.
It's Tom Brady. And 6 weeks into the season, same thing, you know, all last year and early on this year, I'm like, see. And now I am eating crow.
Really?
Yeah, I am. And it's delicious. But no, I mean, not only this last 7 quarters, you said shutting out other teams, dominating other teams. It's like, I don't know. Yesterday we talked about we had the shot calls, and I was like, I think Pats will be up 2 scores at halftime, but the Falcons will come roaring back. Pats will still win it, but it'll be, you know, it'll be a close game. And I'm completely wrong. I mean, it was just even more dominant in the second half, at least from a defensive standpoint. And Belichick, he knows what he's doing. Believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
It's been 21 years, and I feel like, you know, maybe he does. No, but seriously, like that was. That was incredible to watch. And, you know, for the poor Falcons, 61-0, they've been shut out on the flip side of that in the last seven quarters.
That's so crazy. Yeah,
in the Belichick-Brady Cold War, Brady made a nuclear strike last year. It was over. It's a wrap. It's me.
Right.
And Belichick's fighting back. It's really compelling. And I have to say, I look at this Patriots team, and there's this belief that the team takes on the personality of their head coach. Like, these guys are cold. Peter, you're talking about how much fun they're having off the field. Like, they're jerks on the field.
I know. And
there's another word for jerks that I'm not going to use. The end of this game, it's over. And this is exhibit. It is over. It is a wrap. It was over since the second quarter. And then these interceptions started falling out of the sky. And it's not just the ones we saw. Matt Ryan, you love him. You respect him. Pick him off. Get out. They pull Matt Ryan. He's done. Just get off. They say, it's not your night. Josh Rosen, the guy we've followed for years, comes out. And his first pass is picked off. Pick six. Kyle Van Noy goes in. So that's a nice little finish, nice little flourish for the game. No.
Not yet.
Felipe Franks comes in, an undrafted rookie. First pass of his career. Give me that thing. I don't care, kid. Get out of my face. Guys, this is the first time that three quarterbacks on the same team have thrown an interception since 2000. Ryan Leaf, Jim Harbaugh, and Moses Moreno of the Chargers.
Wow.
Okay, so they are stunting and dunking at people. After the game, Kyle Van Noy joins the postgame crew. There's a Falcons fan who is audibly yelling obscenities at him. You can hear him on the broadcast. And Steve Smith goes, "Oh, worry, it's a Falcons fan. He's just a little upset." Kyle Van Noy goes, "Yeah, I'd be upset too. 28-3, and now this." Like, he's just talking, and they're feeling it, and like they're having so much fun, but they're also like doing a little bit of a bully thing where they know that they're good and they're a little bit jerks. I like this. And Adams, I look at the AFC.
Yeah.
I don't love anybody else.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Right? Where do we stand now after this win? And we've got a whole slate of action we'll get you set for, of course, for Sunday. They're now two games up in the win column on all of the teams that are in the thick of the wild card race. They're two games up on the Chargers, the Raiders, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Colts. If the Bills lose to the Colts this weekend, that's right, these Patriots will be in first place of the AFC East going into Week 12. And then they've shown they're a playoff team, I think, by now and by then. In these next 2 weeks, I'll think we'll find out if they're a Super Bowl contender. They've got the Tennessee Titans on the docket. Then they have to go to Buffalo on Monday Night Football, Week 13. It's very interesting, and I think that the Titans might be more talented, and the Ravens might be more talented. But are they giving their A game consistently, week in, week out? No. You know, if you're playing the Patriots right now, you're getting their A game. There's no weakness. There's no, oh, they look like lost out there. They didn't really bring it. Like, they didn't have that juice, the energy. That's not this Pat squad.
They were supposed to lose this game last night. They're supposed to come back to the pack, because that's how this AFC is. Everybody just come on back. If you were doing a trial by combat right now, you have to pick an AFC team to fight for your life. Who are you picking? I mean, the Titans, look, they've won a lot of games. They lost their best player. Do you totally, completely trust them? I thought it was the Ravens. I was in on their destroyed by Miami. Mm-hmm. Really, really bad.
It's too volatile.
Yeah. It's just this, and it's the only team that's there consistently winning are the Titans without Derrick Henry and this Patriots.
So who are you throwing in with then? The Pats?
I think it's still the Titans for me. There's just so much character and there's so much grit. But the Pats are making
some
compelling.
Fans up in Western New York screaming their heads out at the TV right now.
They lost 9-6 to Jacksonville. We can't trust them. How about the guys in KC this weekend?
I know. KC plays Dallas.
But they keep winning.
Here's the cool thing. The Patriots play the Bills twice still.
Yeah.
In the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And it's like the best team will win.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
Good.
Let's see. Shifting gears to, we have news out of Tampa. Let's go to the NFC guys for a minute. The Tampa Bay Times reporting that wide receiver Antonio Brown sought out and secured a fake COVID vaccination card, the claim made by his former live-in chef, Stephen Ruiz. Now, the organization, the team, released the following statement. I have it here. After an extensive educational process conducted throughout our organization this past offseason, highlighting the benefits of the COVID-19 vaccines, we received completed vaccination cards from all Tampa Bay Buccaneers players and submitted the required information to the NFL through the established process in accordance with league policy. All vaccination cards were reviewed by Buccaneers personnel, and no irregularities were observed. And that's where Ian Rappaport joins us and comes in on this developing story. We'll be monitoring on NFL Network all day long, I'm sure. What is the latest regarding this report yesterday and a fake vaccination card for AB?
Okay, the most important words in there, no irregularities observed. And of course, it is the team's responsibility to fully vet and verify these vaccination cards that their players handed to them, that their coaches handed to them. The Buccaneers believe that they have done that, released a statement saying so. And Bruce Arians has been pretty proud about his team being fully vaccinated, his coaches being fully vaccinated, and certainly they take issue with this report. You mentioned it, the Tampa Bay Times reporting that Antonio Brown's personal chef that Antonio Brown asked his personal chef to help him secure a fake vaccination card for J&J, that he was willing to pay $500. This same chef has also said Antonio Brown owes him $10,000 for services performed and not paid for. I talked to Antonio Brown's lawyer, Sean Burstyn, yesterday. He said AB is, in fact, vaccinated. He said, I quote, be like Antonio Brown and get the vaccine. So that is where this stands now. The NFL is aware of the matter and they are looking into it. Remains to be seen if we will get more, but the team has spoken, the league, the lawyer, and that is where it stands now.
Things are looking sort of weird for the Bucks right about now. We'll have more on this developing story throughout the morning. Thank you so much, Ian. Talk to you in a bit. With both the Cowboys and the Chiefs firing on all cylinders lately, this week's matchup is sure to be a bit of a high-scoring affair. It seems likely that Mike McCarthy doing his hype impressions are working ahead of this matchup, too, if you take a look right here.
This is two excellent teams coming together. I mean, if I was a fan, this is a game I'd watch on Sunday, especially with both quarterbacks.
Let's break down the Cowboys-Chiefs matchup as well as some other games. Great action on Sunday. It's called Mad Minute. By the way, Darius Rucker will be on our show this
week. Oh, yeah. So cool.
Nice.
There we go. All right, we're going to start with one of the biggest games on the slate. Those Cowboys, we just saw Mike McCarthy. They're headed to Arrowhead. It's the Chiefs. What's intriguing? There's a lot of different ways to go here, KB.
Yeah, I'm going to go right to the Dallas Cowboys. I want to see the stars come out. Let's go. I feel like we waited for this Dallas Cowboys game for 25 years. It was one of the biggest regular season games I can think of. People are on the Chiefs now. It's timing up perfectly. This is why you draft those players. This is why you pay those players. It's not to win some home game against the Giants that nobody's watching. It's to go into Arrowhead and flip the table. Dallas is a big game.
Yeah, it is. And the Chiefs are home. And there was a moment in that game against the Raiders where it kind of started to click. And it was like, okay, fourth quarter. And here comes the onslaught. And again, you get that glimpse of like, are the Chiefs back? Are the Chiefs back? I want the Chiefs to be back. It's fun to watch the Chiefs to be back. This is the game. Go and beat the Cowboys, and then the Chiefs are back. And then we're talking about Super Bowl potential and all that stuff. Don't get blown out by the Cowboys at home. Don't lose to the Cowboys at home. Let's see them get back on track.
Not even a good loss?
No, enough.
There is a thing.
Yes.
But yeah, they definitely need to compete. They probably need to win this game, talking about the Chiefs, just because of what happened last night, you know. And there's got to be that nervousness.
With New England.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And just looking at the rest of the AFC, looking at the Pats. And, you got to establish your dominance here, but I don't know. DQ in that defense, yikes.
Mike McCarthy, 3-1, by the way, in his career against Andy Reid, of course, is the head coach of the Packers, all when he was Packers head coach. Panthers host Washington at home, a lot of ins and outs with this one. Cam versus Ron Rivera, a bit of a revenge game there. What are we watching for here, Nate?
I like Washington here. Not a lot of people talking about that because of Cam and all the talk with Cam, but they had a big win last week, obviously. And I think Heineke's playing, and he's coming into his own. And obviously nobody's talking about him. He doesn't have the glitz and glam and maybe the stats, but I think it'll be a good matchup.
And I'm looking at the glitz and glam. I'm looking at Cam. Like, I'm into it. I'm into the story. He said this week we have to take back Bank of America Stadium. This is going to be really compelling to watch whether it works or not. And in the meantime, while Cam is screaming, I'm back, and doing his whole thing, McCaffrey was going ballistic for the Panthers. He had 10 catches. He had a whole bunch of carries. Someone has to get the seventh playoff spot in the NFC. Is it Carolina? Like, they've changed the whole thing on the fly, Peter. It's exciting.
It is. And McCaffrey, to your point, had 95 yards on the ground, 10 catches, and it was like all lost in the Cam Newton story was, wait, Christian McCaffrey's back and might be the best running back in football. Kind of like Washington, too, though.
You do.
No Montez Sweat, no Chase Young, back against the wall. They beat Tampa last week. If they rally and they do this one, it's like, Ron Rivera is looking at Cam Newton and is like, I know that dude. I also know what that dude can't do. I'm really interesting.
Rivera 68-55-1 in games. Cam started for him 18-23 without Mr. Newton. Moving on, the Saints heading to Philly to take on the Eagles. What are we excited about in this one, Shrakes?
Kyle did a great job mentioning this 2 days ago. The Eagles schedule, the way it goes right now, they've got this home game against the Saints. And for the rest of the season, they only play the Giants, the Jets, Washington, and then Dallas at home. What's that mean? They're not getting on a plane the rest of the way.
Very cool.
They're 4-6 right now, and we're only in November, and they know that they could sleep in their own beds the rest of the season. Eagles can go on a little run here, but they have to take care of business at home. They've got to beat this Saints team, which I'm just quite honestly not sure what we're getting.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Eagles are going to show out here. I think they kind of have to at this point. I mean, 4-6. But like you said, they're looking probably looking forward to that non-travel schedule.
Hell yeah, they are.
You know, resting up. And
yeah, especially Thanksgiving. Who wants to travel this time? You see these airport delays? You kidding me? I want to see more Taysom Hill. Trevor Siemian, due respect, nice person, nice team. I don't think it's it. I want to see Taysom. We had him on the field a bunch last week, and then they take him off. And, like, the Taysom thing is just, I feel like this is the way they're going to do it. And, again, Saints kind of have to win this game, too. I don't want to see them in a tailspin. Taysom, give it to him.
The Lions 16-4 all time against the Browns. Browns' last win over the Lions streaks came back in 2001. Tim Couch threw a touchdown to
Sean O'Hara.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Sean O'Hara caught a touchdown from Tim Couch in that game. I love that all I needed to give you was quarter zip and you got it. There.
Yeah.
The Colts headed up to Buffalo to battle out against the Bills. What are we looking for? Eeny, meeny, miny, shrinks.
All right, Bills. We saw the Patriots last night. We're going to wax poetic about them. It's time for you to answer the bell and win one. And, you know, the Patriots' defense has been great. They haven't given up a point in seven quarters. Bills are the number one defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz coming into town. Let's see what the Bills answer to what the Patriots did on Thursday night. And I'm curious to see. I think the Bills win this game. Hard knocks or not, they'll be chronicling this one.
Okay.
Well, let's see what the Colts do here. I mean, I think exactly that, and no one's talking about them. Once again, I mean, it's Carson Wentz redemption opportunity, mm-hmm. you know,
Jonathan
in a new
Taylor.
Place. And yeah, I exactly. And that guy, he's all right. Yeah, I think that the Bills are probably, I don't want to say looking ahead, but maybe nervous of the future.
Oh, they are.
In a couple matchups with the Pats, so.
They are for sure. There's two things that Bills fans are scared of right now. They're scared that they don't have a run game and that they can't stop the run. They got destroyed by Derrick Henry. They ran right through him. There's a fear in the Bills fans right now. I'm not saying they're terrified, but that Jonathan Taylor is going to be unleashed on them. They stopped him in the playoff game last year. That was a whole Phillip Rivers team. It was a different deal. We're going to find a lot about the Buffalo Bills this weekend.
I will say they've outscored their opponents by 145 points this season. That is the highest point differential in the NFL. Go Bills. All right, the Ravens travel to the Windy City to take on the Bears. What are we looking for in this one, Nate?
I'm looking for Lamar to bounce back. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I just think this is what he does. He has an off week, and then he comes back roaring, and he's done it twice this year already with big games, big wins, one of them at the Chiefs right after a not great performance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the same thing. I think the Bears are kind of floundering a bit mm-hmm. anyway, and it's Lamar Jackson.
I'm trying to figure out a way the Bears defense is going to stop Lamar Jackson with no Khalil Mack. Nobody. I don't know that they are, which means, number one for the Chicago Bears, time to chuck it. We haven't seen Justin Fields in a couple of weeks. The last time we saw him, everyone was excited. Everyone says mm-hmm. he's turned a corner. I think he's going to have to throw and put up a lot of points in this game. So Lamar versus Justin Fields, like, I'm there for that.
I have concerns about the Ravens and the injury plague that they've gone through. I think with Derek Wolfe now out for the year, with Deshaun Elliott now for the year, I think we went big on the Ravens in August about how they're going to have to overcome this. We're only in week 11, and they've had so many more injuries. Mm-hmm. Like, at what point mm-hmm. is it too much to mm-hmm. overcome? I could see the Bears sneaking one by.
That would be really bad.
That
would
be
really bad for the Ravens. The Bears guys, as Will Salva nicely pointed out to me yesterday, they have lost 7 straight games following their bye. Woof. Finally, it's an AFC North showdown. It's the Packers and Vikings in Minnesota. This usually goes one way. Do we even need a minute to discuss this matchup, KB?
I'm sniffing the Vikings right on this
one.
This is mine. We all get that little itchy pinky finger on some games. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it on the Minnesota, because here's the deal. Minnesota plays the Packers and the Niners. They'll beat them, and then they'll lose to the Lions. That's the Minnesota Vikings brand, and I hope they break it. But the Dalvin Cook thing is a very, very strong factor in this. I actually like Minnesota. That's my special.
Minnesota at home, too, right? And it's like, you're coming to us, and Rodgers going out there without Aaron Jones, but I feel like we haven't seen Rodgers in about a month. Like,
we haven't.
We saw him on a Thursday night, but he wasn't like Rodgers. They won that game, and it was valiant, but it mm-hmm. wasn't Rodgers. COVID, last week was whatever.
Devontae.
Is this the game? Is this the game that Rodgers scorches earth, goes into Minnesota,
and
is like, hey, here's what I'm all about. Very interesting game here, because I feel like a lot is going to have to be on Rodgers' arm, and he has not been himself the last month.
Skull, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got over the hump last week. They've lost all these close games, about one score games all mm-hmm. season long, and they finally got it done. I think they get it done again, and they go on a little roll here, so I'm mm-hmm. taking the Vikings.
Ooh, Rodgers Zimmer is always interesting to see. Rodgers just 7-7-1 in his career against Zimmer. That, of course, goes back to Zimmer's days as a Bengals D coordinator. Top 5 Friday time. It's time for Top 5 Friday, guys. We're talking fantasy football. We're talking values here that'll help you get a win for your team in week 11. Let's start with a quarterback. How about Derek Carr? I like him. Even without all his weapons, he's still been putting up points. The ceiling might not be super high, but he's gotten 15 or more points in 7 of his 9 games this year. I think he can go for 20-plus this week. He's got the Bengals secondary. I told you guys I was worried about this defense, but it's sneaky, not so great, and it has been really generous. Third most generous to quarterbacks over the last month. I like the matchup for Carr. At running back, oldie but a goodie, Mark Ingram. You might be thinking about sending him to the bench if Alvin Kamara returns this week. I say do not do it. He's a top 10 running back since returning to the Saints Simeon's leaned on him on the ground in the short passing game even. Mark Ingram reminded me, I can catch. I'm wearing that 14 like Godwin. Mm-hmm. I can do my thing. He put up over 100 total yards last week. 61 came through the air, so I'm sure the Saints won't want to overwork Kamara coming off the knee injury. They've got a lot of injuries. This squad, I think, will have a pivotal role, and he'll eat this week. Giants wideout. This is the one I'm nervous about putting on the list. Kenny Golladay.
Really?
He's a sleeper, for sure. I know he's been frustrating for Giants fans, fantasy managers alike. Giants.com's Dan Salamone, okay. I don't know how to say it, I apologize. He's saying the bye week was clutch for Golladay and that he's been looking great in practice. So I followed that, and then I looked at the matchup, and I do kind of like him as a sneaky play. He's got the Buck secondary. They have four guys on IR right now. If ever there was a time for Golladay to shine, it would be now. Okay, Michael Gallup, another one. He finally made his return to the field last week. He looked good in limited action. 3 grabs, 42 yards. He had 5 targets where the Cowboys took him out early because they were blowing out the Falcons. I think we're going to see a high-scoring game this weekend against the Chiefs. A lot of opportunities for him against that secondary. Sorry, Spags. And finally, tight end Dan Arnold.
Okay.
Traeger.
That's a good guy.
My guy, and he's been great the last few weeks.
Does it make your heart sing that he's on this list?
Yes, and he's worthy of being even higher on the list.
He's put up double-digit points in 3 straight games since his last appearance on this list, and he's averaging 8.3 targets a game over that span. That's Kittle and Mark Andrews volume.
8.3 targets?
Yeah, a lot of targets for a tight end. Yeah, I think that he has to be in your lineup at this point if you scooped him up and added him on waivers. So, yes, Kenny Golladay, probably the diciest one on this list. I know Kyle probably doesn't like Derek Carr because of the low ceiling value, but I think we can all agree Mark Ingram's going to have a role against the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know who's jumping out of me in this? Who? I start all the Cowboys and Chiefs. Just empty the bag. Give me Gallup. I don't care who it is. This one has shades of that Chiefs-Rams games from a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be like 46-40. I would go with Gallup.
Love it. How did you feel about your long snap? Well,
I felt good.
It was really good.
You have to throw it so hard. Like, I really did chuck it with most of my strength, and it was like still short. So, like, what those guys do, what you guys do, it's awesome.
Yeah, you really do got to just grip it and rip it.
Oh, my gosh.
The most important thing is obviously accuracy, but the velocity is right.
Yeah.
It's got to get back there because it's got to get out quick. You know, those guys are coming.
Apparently, we have a poll about long snaps. Oh, my ears are frozen, so I can't quite hear, but what's the poll? Let's see. Field trip. Nick Boyer taking the crew out to the streets this morning and teaching them how to long snap. Who will do best? Everyone thought Kyle would do best, and he did.
Kyle, good job, man.
They called the
percent of the vote.
But I don't think I did the best. Kay is the only one who had a spiral, which is imperative on a long snap.
He said the best height.
Yeah, and your spiral was vertical, which is unusual and almost impossible, and it was a spiral.
Let's check in with our good buddy, Nate Burleson, over at CBS Mornings. Nate, good morning.
What's up, Kay Adams? How you doing? What's up, GMFB crew and everybody at home watching?
Hey, we're great. We have Nate Boyer here in your old chair. We are there in your new chair. So let's talk about a couple things. We saw the Chiefs. Let's get into some footballs, the nitty-gritty. That offense with KC went off Sunday night against the Raiders. Mahomes is saying they got, I think he used the word swagger, so I'll use it, their swagger back. His 406 yards, 5 touchdowns were enough for you guys to give him the MVP on NFL Slime Time, but was it enough for you to believe that the Chiefs' issues are behind them?
Yeah, the Chiefs are sitting back. They're looking in the mirror, thinking to themselves, I guess I got my swagger back, and they did. This is why you don't panic in the middle of the season, right? Every team has to figure out who they are, and even though the Chiefs have went to back-to-back Super Bowls, it seems like right now they are finding their identity. And we know exactly what it is. It's feeding the ball to Travis Kelce, the best route-running tight end in the game, making sure you get Tyreek Hill involved. And, of course, you want to see if the run game can start to take shape. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he can get healthy and have a major impact on the postseason. I know he's been banged up, but for me, I feel like this team right now has figured it out. And for the Chiefs, and we know how good this offense can be, but the defense, they start playing well, forget about it. Everything that happened in the first part of the season does not matter. That's why you don't hit the panic button so early. I like exactly where they're out. I like exactly where they're at, and the rest of the league better watch out.
And they play the Cowboys this weekend, so we shall see. Nate, Saturday Night Live, one of our favorite shows. One time they had the super fans out there, and then the real Mike Ditka comes and interrupts the segment. One time Tina Fey was doing her weekend update, and the real Sarah Palin comes in. I don't know, did you catch Angry Runs this week? Did you have a chance to watch what happened?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that Angry Runs. You want to remind me?
Do we have the clip?
You mad, bro? Because these guys sure are. Week 10 brought us some guys that are running
angrier than Taylor Swift after a breakup. You gotta watch out Jake Gyllenhaal because I'm looking for ya. Call me Tonka because I got some serious trucks for you today.
Yeah.
Nate, how'd she do? That was Rachel Bonetta. How did she do?
Fantastic. If I can give her an Oscar, I would. Like, that was incredible. We have all kind of mocked each other, but I think that right there is the best of the best. She killed it, and she captured Kyle Brandt's voice because he's a maniac.
It's funny, Nate. I was standing backstage, and I was supposed to come out when she'd done it and take over the segment. I'm like, I just want to stay back here. Like, I just want to leave her. You know, it's like when the cover band is better than the actual band. I wish they would have done it. But, Nate, you missed out another segment that you would have loved. Brian Baumgartner came on the show. A lot of people know him as Kevin from The Office. And we were doing whiteboard, and Kay asked, who do you think is the most underappreciated character from a sitcom? Peter said Sophia from Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. Nate said Jeffrey the butler from Fresh Prince. And I went with Toby from The Office. Yeah. Nate, who would you go with? Underappreciated character from a sitcom.
Okay, I'm going to go with a comedy, a movie, not necessarily a sitcom, but I'm going with Arsenio Hall in the original Coming to America, Simi. I just feel like he was, because he was the perfect complement to Eddie Murphy in that movie, always had a slick little joke on the side. Yeah, so Arsenio for me is the perfect supporting actor.
What am I supposed to say?
Nate,
I'm sorry. So, Nate, like... It's as if we say, who do you think is the most underappreciated wide receiver in the game? And you're like, well, listen, I'm going to actually go with Jerry Rice because he's the greatest of all time. It's a sitcom character. How do you just completely...
There's a million sitcoms.
What are you doing, Nate?
A million sitcoms.
You know
sitcoms.
How the show works.
And the producers had a footage of it. Well, yep, that's the good answer. Yep.
I send my answers back last night. So if your producers...
Yes,
thought
you're right,
it was
Nate,
wrong.
You're right.
They could have hit me up.
You're so right.
Still beat
Nate,
it, Kyle.
Well
right.
said.
Yeah, well, you're a busy man. You're a busy man. We get it.
The busiest Nate in this conversation is you. And you got the chance to sit down with the original cast of the Ghostbusters this week at a firehouse, the original firehouse,
true.
I should say, along with Paul Rudd and McKenna Grace. What was that? Yep. What was that like? What was the best part of that? Who was the coolest dude or dudette?
Well, Ernie Hudson, he's 75 years old, I believe, and he looks like he's 50. And you know, Bill Murray, he comes in as cool as ever, banging on the actual garage so we can lift it up, kicking it with the fans. You know, Bill Murray is like Bigfoot, so anytime he walks into a room, everybody's in awe. Dan Aykroyd, he kind of stole the show. He got up at one point, did a little Blues Brothers action. McKenna Grace was awesome. Ooh. She's a young, up-and-coming actress. She's going to be incredible in the film. But you know Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is the coolest guy because he knows how cool he is, but he also acts like he's not the coolest dude. So I'm like, Paul, you know, you're the sexiest man alive. He's like, no, I don't see it that way. I'm like, Paul, you can't play it off. You can't play it off. You are the sexiest man. So he kind of finally embraced it. But shout out to Paul Rudd and the whole crew. But also shout out to Ladder 8, the firehouse, FDNY Ladder 8 in Manhattan. They were incredible. They were all in the building. And I made sure at the very beginning, I gave them a round of applause because those guys are the real heroes.
Burleson, we love you. Enjoy NFL today on Sunday. Great slate of games, including the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Nate, love ya.
Love you, dude.
Love you, too. You guys have a cool weekend.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys look sharp in Week 10. They're heading to Arrowhead. We were talking about it all morning long. Blockbuster-type matchup. We'll break down that one and all the other ones next. When you a big dog, yeah, you might got to take the assist.
Good morning, football.
Four number one albums in the Billboard Country Chart. He won his third career Grammy Award for his 9-time platinum version of Wagon Wheel. And as far as we know, is one of the few people in the world to ever be in a music video with Freddie Couples. Here to tell us about his upcoming tour in partnership with the NFL music superstar, Darius Rucker. Yeah. What's up, Darius?
How you guys doing? That was good.
Oh, you're the best, man. We are really, really excited. You got a lot of exciting news about your music on the horizon, Darius. Tell your fans, tell us, tell the world about your exciting new music. And yes, a tour they have to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, I'm going on tour in February. I'm doing a tour of a bunch of theaters that I never really got to play coming up. And I got a new record that's going to be out around the time too. I'm really excited about. So yeah, a lot of really great things are happening right now with music. I'm excited.
Yeah, with music and with fashion, we're rocking your gear right now. And that's why you're here. You're announcing an exciting new partnership. It's with the NFL, yourself, and Fanatics. So tell us all about the new collection, and we're all rocking it, and I'm going to steal Schrager's outfit this after the good. Show.
I'm really excited. BCL Entertainment came to me and asked me if I would be interested in partnering with the NFL, and I'm such an NFL fan. I mean, I always say there's two times a year for me. There's football season and waiting for football season. I love it. And for me to have my logo right there next to the NFL logo, it's amazing that I'm getting to do this. And Fanatics, to be with two companies like Fanatics and the NFL, I mean, with my brand, it's just amazing.
The stuff is cool. We're all wearing different ones. I got the flannel shirt and I got the Vikings and it says Skull Vikings, which is like something a Vikings fan is like, yeah, that's my team. I know that. And you're wearing the Dolphins. And, you know, Kyle mentioned the video, that I want to be with you video. And, of course, it was Alonzo Mourning and Walt Williams and Monty Bogues. But it was also Dan Marino. And you even have that lyric that says, the Dolphins make me cry. You were a part of our NFL season's 100 greatest series. And you spoke about what Dan Marino meant to you. And tell us, what was Dan Marino like when you were a youth?
Oh, I mean, he was my idol. I went, you know, once he got in came to Miami, he's my favorite player of all time. And so the funny thing about that video is they asked us what we wanted to do for the video. And the first thing I said is, I want to meet Dan Marino. That was all I cared about, was meeting Dan. And we got to meet Dan and we became really good friends. And, you know, the Dolphins are still, they're my team. They'll always be my team. They mean so much to me. And, you know, knowing the best player in the history, being friends with the best player in the history of the franchise is pretty awesome.
That's awesome, Darius. I got to say, for my my brother's wedding, I actually sang Hold My Hand.
Okay. And,
it was rough. I did my best. It was slightly inebriated, but it was a good time, man. That was one of my favorite albums growing up. You're good. You don't want to hear that. But, you're a legend. You're a music legend, not just for me, but for many. And you've been in this industry for decades. But we did a deep dive into your IG and your Instagram. We found a moment where you appear to be completely starstruck. Mm. It's with you and Mark Hamill. Tell us the story behind this picture.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm at the Ed Asner. I'm playing for the Ed Asner Charity Foundation, and there's Mark Hamill in the audience. And I mean, I'm a geek. I'm a dorky Star Wars crazy guy, and I couldn't believe I was getting to meet Mark Hamill. And that was a great day for me. Yeah, absolutely.
Mark Hamill made him cry.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, what do you even go with? Do you have some sort of icebreaker? Do you make a joke about the Force? Like, I'm uncomfortable and nervous even looking at it. I get it. But Darius, we're going to do a little thing here. We like to have fun in the morning. We're going to play a game. We do a segment on the show around the time of the draft called NFL Name Pass, where we round up and highlight some of the most unusual player names coming out of college. We're going to do it with you. It's called Band Pass. We're going to give you three options of band names, Darius. One of them is a real band. Mm. The other two apparently are completely made up. It's kind of a tip of the cap to Hootie and the Blowfish, an incredible band name. But here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Find the real band name. Is it A, Professor Runkletunk, B, Guys, Fries, and Lies, or C, Camper Van Beethoven, and one is real?
It's Camper Van Beethoven.
It's right. Did you know that band, Darius?
Since we played with them in the day.
We played with them back in the day.
That's awesome.
Oh, incredible. All right, Adams.
Question number two, Darius. Let's give you your options. Which of these is a real band? Is it IC France, Crispy Ambulance, or Welcome to Mooseport?
Oh, this one I don't know, but I hope it's Welcome to Mooseport, because that'd be a great name for a band.
That is a good way, or an album, but unfortunately the answer is, what doesn't seem like a very great name for a band, Crispy Ambulance.
Yeah.
And their Spotify is about to go up. People are going to go and look it up, and we're going to give them some love.
Exactly.
Big fan. Question number three. This game is all about trying to identify the right band, the real band. Okay. Echo and the Bunnymen. The Washer Dryer Experience. Hello, Grandpa! Exclamation mark.
Echo the Bunny Man. Yeah. It's a real band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, he's right. For sure.
80s band, Donnie Darko soundtrack.
Yeah.
The Bunny Man.
Wow. We are yep, right. Exactly.
All right, bring us home.
Exactly.
All right, last one. We got Willy Wally and the Silly Dolly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Big Stan, the Plan Man.
You were at Coachella, I think.
Or King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Come on.
That's easy, right?
It's gotta be. It's gotta be King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Gotta be. Boom.
It's correct. You got it. Wow.
That's a good completion percentage.
It is.
Darius, real quick, Dolphins, they've got two wins, but they did come up with one last week. Give Dolphins fans some motivation, and if you want to sing a tune, we're not going to stop you. Tell us what you think about the Dolphins moving forward.
Well, if we win out, we're going to make the playoffs. And
yeah.
If we make the playoffs, who knows what happens. But I think we're going in the right direction. I like Tua. I think we need to put more talent around him. But I love Coach Flores and what he's doing. But this year was a little step backwards after last year. But I think we're going the right direction. So let's just keep going the way we're going, I think.
Love Sounds kind of like a country song. Good luck rhyming with Tonga Bailoa. But you know you can do it. Darius, you are the best. The clothing line, the tour, the music. We love you. Darius Rucker, so much going on. Thank you for joining us. And fins up, my man.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Fins up.
Apparently, the public has some thoughts about the long snapping segment. Patrick Whitmore, the long snapping segment got me rolling. I love y'all so much.
Positive. No
four for negative. Four. Is there anything critical or cynical? After this Kay Adams long snap, her phone rang off the hook from all 32 NFL teams wanting to sign her up.
Nice.
Also, her boots are the hottest selling item for all women for Christmas. Kay, your thoughts?
Thanks. I haven't gotten any phone calls, but I'm here for them. Let's do it.
This person says, man, I'm showing one of the best all-around athletes. This is enough. Why do we even...
All right, KB!
Yeah. Fist pound.
Ooh,
fist pound.
Ooh,
triple
ooh,
fist
ooh,
pound for ooh, NM Death. Ooh. And what's this one? Matt Overton, verified blue.
He's a long snapper.
That's right. Oh, wait. Dude in boots and skinny jeans. You did well, Nate Boyer. What do you think?
Do you know Matt?
I appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Matt's a great guy. He if anybody gave me some coaching tips when I was trying to make that transition from college to the NFL, it was Matt. And we worked out together a bit. He introduced me to Glazer, actually. So,
no
thank
kidding.
You, appreciate
oh,
nice. You, bro. Yeah.
Oh, that's a life-changing introduction right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we want to end the segment with something nice and calm and chill and the week that you've been here. So, we got our game picks for you. It's something we call Nate Boyer, our GMFB certified 100% grade A grass-fed top joint picks and picks of the week. We each have one team that we throw all in on and we brand it with fire. This team will win. Peter, you've been hot with predictions. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, right. I want to shout out my guy, Darius Rucker, for this amazing flannel jacket that has the Vikings logo on it, but I am not going to be betting on anything with the Vikings when Aaron Rodgers is on the opposing side of the field.
Not doing it?
Not doing it. I'm going with the Bengals.
The Bengals.
Please.
The Bengals. The Bengals are going to Vegas.
Nope.
Zach Taylor's going to be playing craps. And I'll tell you what, after a two-game losing streak, I have taken the Cincinnati Bengals as my...
Light them up! Light them up! Peter, give us some stay hot on the pass line. We baby needs a new pair of shoes.
11 yards.
7 is the bad number,
seven,
right?
We don't want.
You don't know 7. Okay, there you go.
8s and 6s, and you spread it out a little bit. Yeah.
All right, baby. You guys prepared. I'm not doing any of that.
But you don't have to.
Just say the word my.
Yeah, I'll say it very. I'm gonna go Belichick on this one.
Okay.
I've got my eye on the matchup between the 49ers and the Jets.
How come, Coach?
Well, I'm a Niner fan, you know, and I just went there, and I feel weird now. I'm wearing a Lions jacket.
Yep.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, you feel weird. You said it. You did the same thing. But yeah, I'm going with the 49ers as my
hit him.
Boss Ram.
Hit him.
There it is. No dance.
Here we go. Here we go.
You know what? They look good. They're back. I don't know if they were ever here, but they're here now, so whatever.
Okay, I am looking at the Washington football team taking on the Carolina Panthers. You know how I feel about the Panthers. I think they'll make it into the playoffs. I like them. I root for them. But do I think Taylor Heineke and Ron Rivera go in there and defeat their old team and get some revenge? I like the revenge matches in this one. I'm going to go with the Washington football team over the Panthers.
Upset
city for
Let's go. Still think your hair is going to catch on fire every time.
Every time.
It makes me nervous. All right, Kay, you're good. Smoke them if you got them. We got one more, and you said let it fly.
Let it fly.
I'm doing a little bit of this. Someone's got to make a run in the NFC, and the Eagles are hosting the Saints. The Saints are chasing their tail a little bit. I think this Nick Sirianni thing is going to happen. I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles as my...
GMFB
here we go.
Certified.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm about to make a
yeah.
I like it. I'm happy with that one.
That's the week.
Eagles, that's an interesting match.
Tot!
We'll see you guys. Hey, Nate, thank you for
Nate Boyer, everyone. Thanks, great
man.
Week.
Nate
great
Boyer, week. A week! A long run, man. Great job.
I'm sorry I drug you through it.
I threw hot things at you. We'll be back on Monday. We'll see you then. Enjoy the action. We've got highlights in a couple minutes away right here on our show. Good Morning Football. Bye. Okay, New York looks like it's deceptively. Life's a beat, so enjoy it.